Anyone who does not welcome the kingdom of God as a child will never enter it. We don't become childish to enter heaven, but childlike. A child, what's it like? It trusts in its parents. It is humble and obedient. These are the hallmarks that will guarantee eternal life, that we trust in God the Father, that we are humble before him, and that we have obeyed him. And then we shall be like a little child and able to enter into that life. Meanwhile, this life on earth is one of being a member of God's family. The readings are all about the unique Christian reality that every person on earth is called to be a mother or a father. Paternity or maternity is the reality that all are called to. Even consecrated people, priests and religious, they are fathers or sisters. They still have that familial connection at a spiritual, not a physical level. And that's why God created us as male and female. We have a repetition in the Gospel of the first reading from Genesis, the first book in everyone's Bible. We are told that woman came from man. That's why the word man is repeated in the word woman, or female and male. This at last is bone from my bones and flesh from my flesh. This is to be called woman, but this is taken from man. In the Hebrew it's ish and isha, but it's the same reality. One word gives life to another word. And from the differing genders, which are equal, become complementary persons. We are called to the communion of persons because that's what God is, a communion of three persons. And the three become one within the context of families and marriage. That's why the sacrament of marriage was the only sacrament not lost in the flood. It's also the only sacrament you don't receive from the priest. It's the primordial sacrament that couples exchange to each other. And it's primordial because it's the building block of our family life, our future. It's the building block of all societies. A man and woman, a husband and wife, unite, and in their giving forth of love, the self-giving love, comes forth the gift of life, a child. Love begets life. That's the blueprint built into us by God, because God is a communion of persons. Two persons love each other, and from the giving of their love, Father and Son, comes forth the gift of life, the Holy Spirit. So this reality can't disappear. It's part of who we are. We've been hardwired as male and female and called in the vocation to marriage. And within the context of married life, family life happens. As we've heard in the psalm, your wife will be like a fruitful vine in the heart of your house, your children like shoots of the olive around your table. And how true that is, especially today, as we gather around the table of the Lord for your children to receive for the first time the heavenly food, food for the soul given to us in Holy Communion. Your children have been baptized, born spiritually of the church, now they're going to be fed, nourished by that same Mother Church. And we rejoice on that occasion. But let's not go too far from the first reading. The book of Genesis is so fascinating. There's much symbolism behind the historical event of our creation. One question I want you to ask yourself today is, Adam was created first, and with Adam's creation, all the creatures of the world were created. And we're told that Adam could not find a helpmate among the animals, the plants, the planets. Everything was good, but not good enough for him as a complementary person. Something was still lacking. As the scripture says, no helpmate suitable for man was found for him. So what did God do? He put Adam to sleep, into a deep sleep, almost like a death. And while he slept, he took one of the ribs of Adam, and from that rib formed woman. Adam wasn't created from the rib of any animal. We're told that Adam was created from the slime of the earth, mud, dust, Perhaps that's why boys like to play. No, there might be some connection there. But our creation as males is completely and utterly different to the creation of woman. And that's for a purpose. Man is made from inorganic, non-living matter. Woman, however, is made from organic, living matter created in the image of God. In other words, woman is created in a different manner to man for a purpose. And ask yourself, too, why a rib was chosen and not an earlobe or a toenail or an arm. Or why a rib? What's behind the rib? Well, I'll put on the bulletin a few points with regards to the rib. Eve was made from the rib of Adam because the rib protects the heart. And the woman is the heart of the home. She's the source of love. And that needs to be protected. Hence the symbolism behind the rib. The man protects. He's not a predator, but protects, watches over the heart of love. The woman is wife within the context of the home. Secondly, the rib stands on the side of your being. The woman will stand side by side with man. Husband and wife are equal. Different, complementary, but equal in the image of God. So they stand together, united in love and life. And lastly, and this is perhaps the most fascinating, is that the rib also supports the lungs and the breath of life. Without breathing, we do not have life. So too, the woman is the source of life. Alice von Hildebrand several years ago put out a piece on what we call the sacrality of womanhood, that there's a certain sacredness regarding the woman, and we ought not to lose that. We have lost it to a certain degree with feminism in our modern era, but the sacredness of woman doesn't come because she's a Mary or Josephine or whatever her name is. It's her very nature. She, unlike man, was created from a person in the image and likeness of God. Woman and woman alone is created differently to Adam because the woman begets life. The woman is the vessel of life. And therefore she's sacred in that very being. Who she is someone that God has crafted from all eternity whereby he continues his work of creation. We forget that God set up the whole cosmos and stopped as the creator except on one occasion, and he does it daily. Within the context of a woman's body, he continues his work of creation. The finger of God, you might say, through a soul, is still present with us. And that happens within the woman's body. And therefore, the source of that body had to be holy. It had to come from someone who was already in the image and likeness of God against man. So therefore we have a certain reverence and respect towards womanhood because that's the means by which God continues his work of creation and populates the world and brings forth, through love, life. So we thank God for these insights and we pray that we might always cherish them, respect them and also acknowledge them. In a world that seems to have forgotten these basic principles of gender, role and vocation, we ask God to help us not just learn them, but live them and practice them in every aspect of life. And in doing so, our married life and our family life will be a source of joy and blessing here and unto eternity. Praise to Jesus Christ.